Good evening, everybody. If you'd like to take a seat, I know you look like you're having conversation. Good evening. How is everyone this evening? Very enthusiastic Friday night church. Yeah! Yay, God! Oh. Yeah, so we would like to welcome you here to Friday night service tonight. And I don't know if anybody's is their first time here, but if it is, welcome. I just want to give you some helpful information if you're new. I'm just practicing for when we have a lot of new people coming who aren't here yet. So for those of you who are new, if you're looking for a very important place called the washroom, you go through this door right here and down the hall till the end. So now you know. And for those of you who call the Vineyard home, if you want to give to the work that we're doing here in the church and in the community, there is a box at the back on the left-hand side with some envelopes. And if you feel led, you can put something in there. Also, we're excited tonight because we're going to be really encouraged by what Tim is going to share with us. So I don't know about you, but I need some encouragement. I need to be challenged. Yes, yes, yes. And I also need to be inspired. So who doesn't need to be inspired tonight? So basically what we're doing tonight, as before, we have our speaking at the first part of the service, and we're gonna watch a short video now just before we get started, and then Tim Windsor is going to come up and he is gonna continue to speak to us on the next part of our series, which we've been doing called Awake. So let's get started.
I don't need this microphone, but for recording purposes, we're going to use this microphone. So, welcome. Really appreciate you guys coming. And the format of our service is really, it's different and it's a challenge. And I think all of you here call the Vineyard home. And so, one of the challenges that we're looking at, really wrestling with, is even the interaction between how we speak and worship. And you'll notice that we've inverted the order here on Friday nights, and it's a bit of an experiment. And partly the reason for that, sometimes it's like we do these things and it's like we're the Wizard of Oz, we get this big thing going on and nobody knows what's going behind the curtain. And so what's going behind the curtain in some of this is that putting the speaking first and allowing a time of worship after that changes a bit of the dynamic. And part of the dynamic that I'm hoping for in that and Chris and I have been talking about is that as you worship, that God would sort of really press that truth of what we're talking about into your spirit and into your heart as you worship. And so, you know, as you're coming here and experiencing that in a new way, I want to invite you into that because it's a little bit different. And to give you a little bit of a sort of a crack open a little bit, why are we doing some of these things? And we would love your feedback as we do these things. You know, is that helpful? Is it working? Does it just seem awkward? It's a bit of a grand experiment, as Chris has said. And so we appreciate your feedback as we do that, because ultimately we want to get to a point where we can really maybe just launch really in a public way, in a way that we can really engage the community as well, not only our church community, but the community at large. So I just want to, you know, just sort of tear that back a little bit. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to encourage and challenge myself first. And whenever I speak first to myself. And so I really want to encourage and challenge myself and you to really understand what it means to awake. What does that mean? And to live our lives with the sense that our eyes are wide open to something and fully alive to two things, to the love and the life of God. The question that I wrestle with is, how do we do this? You know, through what understandings and through what source or force can we be fully awakened? Now, as is all the time here at the Vineyard, the wisdom and ideas that we draw on in the series that we're teaching from obviously comes from the Bible. And I don't know if you think a lot about this, but, you know, one of the questions I wrestle is, what is the Bible for me today? Because on one level, it's an ancient book that I believe God inspired, and he inspired people to write an account of really and retell their interactions and their in God's intervention in their lives, but that was thousands of years ago. The amazing thing to me about the Bible, although it's a very historic document, it's actually a present-day document. It's a living document. And in that document, actually, it begins to frame and understand not only the intervention of God historically, but the intervention of God now in my life today and his interaction with me. That's really what the Bible is. And so when we come together and we speak and we talk, we draw our understanding out of this ancient text that has a present reality in our lives. So tonight, here's the question I have for you. Who can truly and fully awaken you? Or what can truly or fully awaken you? I think the Bible starts with this understanding. It really says that if we're going to awake to something, we first need to actually be unplugged from something else that we get a lot of power from. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Because in this series that we have, we're talking about this idea of resurrection, which literally means if something is resurrected, clearly means that it's died and it rises again, it comes out of the grave. That's the kind of life that we're supposed to be living as Christians. And so in Romans chapter 6, Paul just writes about this in a really wonderful way. And in Romans 6:11, it says this, "So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." Let me read that again to you. "So you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." So you should consider. That word literally means to compute or to calculate. You should add it all up, and the sum of what you should understand is this, Paul says. You should consider yourselves to be dead, literally a corpse. You should consider yourself to be unplugged. In a sense, it's no different than this. If I take this light here, probably not a good idea to stick it under there. If I take this light here, I can lecture this to death. I can shame it to death. I can give it things to do, but I'm never going to affect its power unless I do one simple thing, and that's what? Turn it off. If I deny it power, it can't light up anymore, right? So hold that. So all I need to do, literally, and once I unplug it, has no power anymore. And nothing can turn it back on, right? It's dead. And I can do anything I want, but I'm never going to turn that back on unless I power it again. And there's a sense in which the Bible tells us this, that God unplugs us from this power. And that's what he does. And that's what this verse says. So we should consider ourselves to be dead to sin, literally unplugged from its power. Unplugged from the power of sin. And sin really, in this case, really has several definitions for us. One is literally this idea that we miss the mark, that God sets a mark that we need to achieve and we miss it. That's sin. Sin could be lying, cheating, stealing, any other kind of evil that you think about. But when we become Christians, there is this true reality that actually God wants to unplug us, and he has unplugged us literally from the power of sin. And sin, when it's powered on, has two abilities, I think, in our lives. Number one, sin has the power to push us around and push us off course. And it also has the power to propel us towards that which is not good for us. And that's the thing that God wants to address in our lives. He literally wants to unplug us from this power. Now, here's the thing as Christians that we understand. In one level, this has already happened, and in another level, it's still happening. But Paul has this sense in which there is a reality that we ought to consider ourselves already dead to sin. And not just dead to sin, because that wouldn't be good enough. What does the last part of the verse say? We should be dead to sin, but what? Alive to God. Literally, then, and it's so much cooler the way God does it. If we had a lot of money, we'd make it really cool too. But and literally, it's that simple. Because once you deny power to something, it can't turn on, it can't be energized. When you plug it into a different power source, now you have new power, right? And this idea of resurrection has everything to do with this. At one level, God unplugs you. He disconnects you from the power of sin. He hides your life or buries it somehow inside of Christ. And then as he brings you out of that, he plugs you back into a totally different power source. And that's him. The question is, why don't we always live in the reality of that? Because that's part of what's happened here. The real truth for those of us who are already Christians, who are Christ followers, is that we have already been unplugged and disconnected from the power of sin, and sin no longer has the ability to push us around and propel us towards evil. That's the reality that Paul's talking about. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, his physical death and resurrection, and now through our own spiritual sense of dying and rising again and plugged into a new power source, he invites us to unplug, to awaken. If you want to really wake up to God, you first have to be disconnected or unplugged from the thing that energizes your life away from him. And that's really what the gospel is all about. But the thing is, we can't just leave this as a spiritual reality. We have to figure out how to make this a practical reality. So on a practical level, although this is already true, what are some of the things that we could do to get unplugged from the power of sin? Well, let me suggest three to you tonight. Firstly, in the same way that Paul said in Romans 6, is we need to consider ourselves dead. Meaning we need to think about it. We need to actually believe that that is true, that I have been disconnected from the power of sin in my life. The cross was a great power disruptor. In fact, such a power surge happened on the cross that the Bible tells us that what happened, what fell over the land when Christ was crucified? Darkness. It was like God unhooked the whole universe from a power source and took all the power out of it in that moment. The cross was the greatest power disruptor in the history of the world. where God literally unplugged or gave the ability for his whole creation to be unplugged from the power of sin that they plugged into in the garden, now he unplugged them so that he could do something different with them. And God has not only unplugged you from the power of your own sin over your life, he's unplugged you from the power of the sins of others over your life. That's what resurrection is. He actually literally unhooks you from the power grid that's driving you away from him, that's driving you away from the things of God, and he hooks you up to a whole nother power source like a big magnetic field that pulls you in to his very presence. And the cross was that great power disruptor. And so the first way we begin to really enter into this is to actually consider it to be true, to actually begin to believe it and say, I no longer am under the power of sin. As he says in Romans 6, in that 11, so you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin. It's true. It's already done. Secondly, some of you maybe have some outlets still in your life where you're apt to hook back into that power. So can I suggest something? That sometimes you got to cover up those with duct tape. Because sometimes we want to plug our power back into those old things. And for some of you, you need to put some duct tape over those outlets. And how do you do that? I think one of the ways you do that is by giving and receiving forgiveness. Because unforgiveness tends to hook us back up into the old power grid, into the old system. And so, firstly, we need to consider ourselves dead to sin, that is true. Secondly, we need to maybe put some duct tape over those old outlets so we're not so apt to actually plug back in. And maybe, just maybe, maybe we're just going to actually have to cut that cord of the old patterns and the things that get us connected, because now I don't care what you do, you can't power me anymore because I'm not hooked up. And so we need to consider ourselves dead to sin. We need to cover up those plugs in our lives where we want to hook back into that power grid of sin. But sometimes we need to get really aggressive and we need to cut the cord. We need to cut the things that reconnect us somehow. And I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian a long time, and I don't know how every once in a while I wake up and it seems like during the night somebody has switched my cord to a different power grid. I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I wake up full of anger. I wake up something, and I don't know where that's coming from, but it's like in the middle of the night somebody took my electrical cord and put it back into the old grid. Do you ever feel like that? And I'm telling you, for me, I got aggressive, and I got to get out the scissors and say, no, I'm not going to do that, and I got to cut that off again and again in my life. So those are three things. Although the reality is that you're already unplugged, the reality is sometimes we have to do some things to get unplugged. But in addition, it's not just good enough to unplug ourselves. We need to plug into God. And so here's three simple ways I think we can plug into God. Number one, it starts at the same place. Consider yourself plugged into God. Believe it, that you're actually been unhooked from something and now you're plugged into a whole new power source, and it's the creator of the universe. Romans 6:4 is a great example of this. Somebody want to read that verse? Romans 6:4. In the same chapter, Paul talks about not only getting connected to this understanding, but acting it out. Go ahead, read that. Absolutely. For Christians, as Christians, baptism is a demonstration of this power disruption. It's like God takes this electrical device and puts you in the water and it shorts your system right out and then pulls you up a totally different person. And I'm going to just tell you something personally. I don't believe it's just symbolic. And some of you here tonight, if you've never been baptized, I'm going to suggest something. One of the ways you cut off that power is you put your electrical device in the water, you plunge it in there, you soak it so much that it'll never ignite again. There's something powerful that happens in baptism. It is a demonstration. It is a drama. But there's also something that unhooks us in that event. And Paul talks about it. We've been buried with him, and now we rise again, unhooked from that power grid, hooked up to God. Secondly, we need to connect with God. We need to connect our cords back to God through Bible reading, through prayer, through talking to him, through connecting with him, through getting out into nature. Whatever it is that hooks you up to God's power grid, we got to consciously get our little plug and come up and plug it into source that we can get hooked up to God in. And I don't know what it is for you, but we've got to find those places. Because I don't know about you, but every once I feel like I'm running a rechargeable battery and I got no juice left. That's how I feel. And thirdly, I think another way that we really connect with God and we plug into God is we collaborate with God. He invites us to awake to his mission, his plan to help to continue this great power disruption and reconnection in the lives of your family, your friends, and your neighbors. So not only does God unhook you from that grid of sin and hook you into his grid, he invites you to do the same for others, to actually participate in this great power disruption. Because if we want people to wake up, we first have to get unplugged and be turned off. And God unhooks us, and then he plugs us into something better. Let me conclude with this thought. It's not just about getting to heaven. It's not just about getting to heaven when we die physically one day, you know, when we get to the great power station in the sky. That's not what it's about. But rather, it's much more about living unplugged right now. Unplugged from the power and the push and the propulsion of sin, and hooked up, plugged in to the community, the compassion, the kindness, and the care of God. That's what resurrection living, from my perspective, is all about. It's unplugging to awake to something new. And if you've become a Christian, the reality is you have been unhooked. But some of you have put your plug back into the socket. And I know, you know, all of us here tonight are believers. Let me just say something to you as believers. You don't need the devil to do that for you. You do it yourself. The devil doesn't come along in the nighttime and plug your plug back into the old grid. You do it yourself. I do it myself. I don't need him to do it for me. But every once in a while, I have to recognize I'm drawing power from the wrong source, and if I want to wake up and live in the resurrection life, I need to unplug to awake. So as you consider this, I'm going to invite the band to come. And I'm going to invite them to lead us in a time just of music and lyrics and what we call worship, but it's really just a time of us expressing our heart to God. But tonight, what I want you to consider is this as you worship. What I want you to think about as you worship is this. I believe really strongly in the power of visualization. And I think the Bible talks a lot about this. In fact, it says, you know, when we pray to him, we should, anything that we ask or imagine, our imaginations can involve in the process. Here's what I'd like to encourage you to do as we worship tonight. As we worship, I'd like you to visualize, and if you need to shut your eyes and ask God to help you, God just, tonight again, just unhooking that plug from the power source, from the grid around us that's full of dirty power, and hooking you back into God's power grid. And I'm not talking about just power for the sake of power. I'm talking about a power that energizes you towards the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're talking about. So let's just stand together, and we'll just invite the Holy Spirit to come. So Father, we just invite you to come tonight. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that the cross was the great power disruptor. Thank you that you unhooked or made possibility all of humanity to be unhooked from the power of this world and plugged into the compassion and mercy of the Father. So tonight, Lord, as we worship you tonight, we pray that you would do that again for us, that we'd have a revelation of this reality, and we'd find ourselves again unplugged to awake, unplugged to awaken again to the realities of you in our lives.